to Tax Conversations Africa, a five-part series on the use of research evidence in influencing government policies towards fair tax systems in Africa. Tax is the price we pay for living in a civilized society. However, the question on what tax system guarantees a fair tax is highly contested. What is the role of civil society research evidence in influencing government policies towards tax systems in Africa? And how can policymakers use country-specific data to build fairer tax systems on the continent? Welcome to the first episode of Tax Conversations Africa, the podcast, offering alternative thought to African tax systems. Tax Conversations Africa is powered by the Tax Justice Network, TJNA, in partnership with the Institute for Economic Justice and the generous support from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. I'm your host for today's podcast. My name is Ishmael Zulu. Between 2012 and 2017, Tunisian policymakers worked with civil society organizations to draft an amendment of the 1993 Investment Code Law using research evidence produced over the years. Today, we focus on Tunisia, highlighting the tax incentive in the northmost country in Africa. And I am joined by Busi Sibeko, a researcher and the budget project lead at the Institute for Economic Justice, IEJ. Busi's current research focus is macroeconomic policy, including tax justice, fiscal and monetary policy, and participatory budgeting to advance socioeconomic rights. Welcome to the podcast, Busi.
Thanks for having me here.
Great. So across the continent, we are seeing a growing use of research evidence by policymakers, and it is reassuring to note that these pockets of collaboration are growing. Please share your thoughts on this integration.
Yes, absolutely. You're right that on the continent, there's been more intersection with the use of research evidence. But of course, this is to be understood within the historical, social and economic processes of various countries. So, for example, in the Tunisian case, we see that the ability for the CSO that we looked at in Tunisia to be able to influence, the political context or the tax policy itself was in induced by the fact that the political context in Tunisia has changed to open up more space for CSOs to be able to engage on tax policies themselves. And so across the continent, absolutely, as we shift towards more participatory policy making, which includes taking into account different types of research evidence, we're seeing more collaboration with CSOs in particular and other research groups in the creation of policies themselves.
Great, thanks. So staying on the Tunisian experience, what factors in your view influence the extent to which tax policymakers use research evidence generated by CSOs?
Yeah, the Tunisian case is quite interesting because the research, the evidence that was produced began in 2012. So the outputs began in 2012 and they worked with policymakers over time. And it was only in 2016 that the policy changes were subsequently adopted. And I think the main reasons why there was high uptake was, one of the reasons was waiting for the right time. So as I've already indicated, that the Tunisian Observatory Economic Forum had already published multiple studies on the issue. So waiting for the right time is a very critical component. The other important factor was that the CSO itself was perceived as being nonpartisan. And that was important in this political context, because remember that tax policy is being made within a political context where ministers have a political mandate, right? They have to be accountable to the people who have elected them there. And so it was important that the organization was not seen as siding with a particular political party or political agenda. The other important factor was, of course, they were able to, it was a time where the policymakers desired change, right? So when the government itself is interested in diversifying its revenue resources and there's a demand for research evidence for alternatives, then obviously the uptake is likely to be high. And I'll just highlight one more to say that another important factor was the fact that they had demonstrated, the CSO had demonstrated, that this tax policy change had been possible in Morocco and Senegal, which are like countries. And so showing that practically the tax policies that had been proposed were practical and could work in the Tunisian case was also a significant factor for uptake.
That's pretty insightful. And increasingly, tax laws have been used as a political tool by governments. So from the study that was done, would you say research evidence can be used to help anchor a government's tax laws in a way that it gains credibility and buy-in from the public?
Absolutely. I think, you know, one of the critical things that we had to consider while conducting the study is what research evidence is considered to be credible. And I think what the argument that we're trying to make here is that civil society organization research evidence is also important because, you know, when you look at case studies like Nigeria, when we interviewed policymakers, at least at the federal level, what they were indicating was a particular bias to research evidence being generated from universities or the private sector. But I think, you know, in our study, the CSOs that we had looked at showed that they are able to produce credible research evidence in itself that can be used by policymakers. So it's always a question of whose research evidence and what are the measures of what is considered good research evidence. And I'll put good in quotes because different people have different perspectives on that. But certainly it's important that governments, you know, think critically about what they consider to be research evidence and who are they biased against. And I think this paper shows, it makes a great case to say that CSO research evidence is just as credible and important in the greater scheme of things.
Thank you for staying tuned to Tax Conversations Africa. Today, a conversation about tax incentives in Tunisia with a renowned researcher, Ms. Wissi Sibeko. Wissi, there are critics who hold the opinion that CSO-based research for policymaking is too technical and focused on building technical capacity grounded in theories of change that do not take proper account of underlying politics and power dynamics, and are based on assumptions of how change happens that are not sufficiently tested. What would be your response to that?
Yeah, it's a very challenging one, right? What is the nexus between CSO research and its entry into the policymaking process and how it engages with policymakers themselves? I think, you know, what we explicitly state in the report is that this is a non-linear process. And so, of course, as CSOs in various countries try to grapple with the complexities, the power dynamics, the what spaces are available to actually input research evidence, this will continuously develop over time. But I think it's very important and critical that everyone understands that depending on the country context, actually in all country contexts, there's not a linear relationship between I've produced my research and now I go to this forum and the policymakers are going to hear me out and therefore it's going to be adapted. And so it's critical that CSOs themselves are able to adapt to the context and to understand those power and political economy context of how research evidence itself makes its way into the policymaking process and how it's used. And of course, use of research evidence, it's not a once-off event. You know, it is a continuous, it can't be a continuous event. It could be that one policymaker looks at your website the one day and finds the data, or it could be that you've submitted a document that the MPs have to engage critically in a different context. So, you know, the theories of change have to be continuously amended to speak to the context and the changing context, as we saw in Tunisia. You know, in before before 2011, TUI would probably wouldn't have been able to do what they've been able to do in 2016, because there was simply no political economy space for CSOs to be able to engage with the policymaking process itself.
Thank you so much, Busi. And finally, looking at the country case studies in general, I know there was a focus on Tunisia, Nigeria, Uganda, and Zambia. How can the repackaging of the research evidence be used to enhance accessibility and encourage use by governments?
Yeah, I think, you know, these case studies present a variety of ways in which repackaging is very critical. So in the Tunisian case study, for example, it was important that they spoke to the policymakers. And what do I mean by that is that you ensure that your research evidence is addressing those policymakers' concerns. This does not mean that you are changing your policy prescription, but it means that you are speaking to those political inclinations, right? To say that what does this policymaker actually care about and how do I meet them where they are? So that was a very important thing to ensure that the messages were tailored to particular policymakers to ensure that they understood and could buy into the ideas themselves. I think in the Uganda case study, what was important was packaging the research evidence. For example, it sounds simple, but on their website, policymakers cited going to the Ziatini's website as a source of information, and that's important. We generally tend to not necessarily think of websites as important of distribution channels, although in this case it's indicating that, you know, having a well-maintained website where people can access your information is very critical. And across the studies, they engaged with policymakers in workshop formats to build capacity. You know, that is a way in which you can package your policy proposals, is to ensure that there's a space where people can learn and critically engage with your policy proposals or research evidence itself, such that they've got a better understanding. And so I think across board, all these civil society organizations demonstrated that, you know, there's no one way to distribute research evidence. In fact, there are multiple ways. And the last example I'll give is that in Nigeria, they actually had created a documentary around the violations that informal workers were experiencing in the way that the tax administration was being undertaken, right? Being double taxed, you know, human rights violations, and so forth. And so there's many ways to package information. And it's critical that we take advantage of all the ways in which we can get the research evidence into the hands of society broadly, but particularly into the hands of policymakers, such that it makes sense to them so that they can use it.
Thank you so much for your insights, Busi.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
You've been listening to Tax Conversations Africa, the podcast, powered by the Tax Justice Network Africa, TJNA, in partnership with the Institute for Economic Justice and the generous support from the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. For more information and episodes, please visit our website on www.taxjusticeafrica.net. For questions, comments, or opinions, email us on info@taxjusticeafrica.net.